Welcome to Living Waters Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this life-changing message.
I said to Tony, you know, I feel I'm in a time of being emptied of quite a lot that's accumulated over the years, and although it's necessary and it's really a good thing, when God empties you, when you're called on in times like this, you feel empty, and then you feel a bit vulnerable, and you think, well, what am I going to share, you know? And you know, I've even found that in the prayer meetings, we go on a Wednesday, and I just have to literally open my mouth and trust God's going to fill it, because I just feel he's taking so much out of me at the moment. And the exciting thing is he is going to fill it, and I believe he's doing that for all of us because of what he's doing in the church and where he's taking us and where we're going to. We can't afford to be full of stuff that's not God's, you know. But then when he said, I've misgauged it, I've got two more sermons, I said, that's fine. You can do it on Mother's Day. I don't mind stepping out of the way. but he didn't let me off the hook. But I just want to thank God for the privilege to stand here. I don't take it lightly. And I know that there is, every week, whether it be Pastor Tony or whether it be others that have shared this platform, they're powerful words that come from this platform. And I just want to honour that this morning and give God praise that we have meat coming from this platform. So in the same vein, I ask the Lord for his help to do my part in that as well. So yeah, that's just that. So the scripture that he gave me is the widow's mite, and it's found in Mark 12, verses 41 to 44. And he sat down opposite the temple treasury and began watching how the people were putting money into the treasury. And many rich people were putting in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which amount to a mite. Calling his disciples to him, he said to them, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, this poor widow put in proportionally more than all the contributors to the treasury, for they all contributed from their surplus, but she, from her poverty, put in all she had and all she had to live on. Just want to read that again, and it's in a paraphrased version. It's not the direct account, but it's just to help create a picture of that scene of the widow giving her mite. It says, patiently she stood at the offering bin, waiting her turn. Quietly, Jesus watched as she waited. He watched as she pulled out a folded piece of cloth from her waistband and removed two tiny coins. He watched as she drew her hand up into her sleeve to hide them. She was hoping that no one would see. But Jesus did see, and tears of love filled his eyes. The thing that really struck me about this account is the widow's heart for God and Jesus' heart for the widow. Just to make it clear as well that this is not talking purely, God cares about what we give, what we physically give, but he cares more about what we're giving from, the heart that we're giving from, and why we're giving. We can all relate to having some point in our lives where we don't have two pennies to rub together, but this short account quickly cuts to the chase. When you face struggles and challenges in life, what will be your response about your heart for God? And through it all, do you have an understanding of Jesus' heart towards you? When we feel we're in deficit, when we feel we have to put a brave face on, but really we just want to hide, just like that widow hid her coins, in lack in some area of our life and everyday living, when, like the widow, giving the last bit of what you have means making yourself vulnerable, but demonstrates your heart towards him as a priority, will you trust God and put in your two pennies? The fact that the widow had two coins made me wonder, was she tempted to keep one and give one? Because I think we all do that, even in our everyday lives. That, you know, we go to God and we say, look, I'm giving this to you, I'm handing it over, I don't want to do this on my own anymore. But we quickly pick up the other coin and we go off trying to strategize how we're going to make a way forwards and what we're going to do to make a change in that situation. But I truly believe that the widow understood the powerful principle found in Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. My guess, although it doesn't tell us, is that she didn't give all she had flippantly without concern. She probably had doubts. As she got closer to the treasury, maybe she was asking herself, should I or shouldn't I? To me, it's everything I've got. To them, it won't mean much. So maybe it doesn't really matter. Made me think about a time when we had Bissy, and most of you have probably heard the story, so I won't go over it all again, but it was very traumatic labour. And, you know, when we had her, you know, it didn't look well, it didn't look good. And we went into shock, it was trauma, and Tony just looked at me and he said, just speak the name Jesus. And that's all I could do. I just kept saying, Jesus, 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 just crying out to him, not even fully knowing what that fully meant in what he would do, but I just had to say his name and trust him. And God did a miracle. We even had the nurses say to us, she's changing before our very eyes. I didn't put in a lot. I just put in my heart and him, and he did the miracle. When we give of ourselves to God, not only in our successes, but in our hardships too, he begins to do a work in us and through us that is so deep, and it strengthens us. We go from superficial to supernatural. 2 Corinthians 4:7 to 11 says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that his all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. We are the jars of clay, and the treasure is the life and the power of Jesus in us. He knows we're human. But this life and power that comes from Jesus can meet us in that place of challenge and bring the breakthrough. In every circumstance, we can quietly and humbly give our lives to God so that he can demonstrate through us that his all-surpassing power is from him and not from us. If you ever find yourself in that place where you have come to the end of yourself, the presence and power of Jesus is still at work in and through your life. And God will always prioritize your availability over your ability in that situation. He sees us and he has moved to meet us in that place. That widow had every reason to keep her 2 coins. She couldn't really afford to give them, but she knew she couldn't afford not to give them too. So let's just take a moment to think, what do the 2 coins represent in your life? Is it your health, your finance, your family, addiction, pain, loneliness, relationships, just the simple busyness of life that wears you out? The list could go on and on. But now take a moment to meditate and reflect on the truth that God's surpassing power is from him and not from you. And this is why you can give him that which represents your 2 coins and know that you are hard pressed on every side, but you aren't crushed. You're perplexed, but you're not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but you aren't destroyed. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1 to 4, says, think of us in this way, as servants of Christ and stewards of God's mysteries. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they should be found trustworthy. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. I do not even judge myself. I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. In your greatest challenge as a servant of Christ and as a steward of God's mysteries, you can show yourself trustworthy, not caring what people think, but only caring what God thinks, just as this precious widow did. I think it's quite unique that this account focused on the widow, because in this day and age, she would have been sidelined. It would have been those who were rich, who were elevated. We're in a culture that teaches us to get out there and be seen. It's no longer a time where pleasing God and doing what's right, even if you aren't seen, is always valued. A great example of getting on, regardless of the applause, is motherhood and parenting. I remember when I had my first baby, Koye, and so I keep saying that. We had our first baby. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, that's true. I had watched all the films about parenting and things like that, and I was in this fairyland, and then sleeplessness hit me, and the fact that I couldn't go to bed when I wanted to, the fact that when I did go to bed, there was probably a pooey nappy that had been created for me to go and change it, and if I went out, I had to pack the whole house to make sure that I had everything that I needed, and then just as we were getting into a routine, he would start teething, so then I was back to square one. But through that time, you learn to die to self, you learn to adapt, and you learn to grow. And then we had Sade, and I do remember thinking, what was my problem with Koye? Because it got easier as we went along, and by the time we got to baby number six, no problem. But it's because you learn to die to self. And we did it because we love our babies, and we still do. Still call them my babies, even though they're teenagers now. And we made them our priority because we knew the importance that their lives really did depend on it. But this is how God loves us. Thankfully, he lacks no good thing, so he watches and he waits for us to give him the opportunity of doing what only he can do. So let's remember that in this story that Jesus sat watching the widow and Jesus watches over you. It's not just the bad times, it's the good times too. He's seen every celebration you've had in your life. He's seen every significant event, those times when you've just had such joy in your heart. Think of all those special times and know that he was there watching you and celebrating with you. But he is also with you in the pain, in the losses, in the turmoil, in the loneliness, in the struggle, and in the isolation. You're never alone or unseen. And Jesus watches over you because he loves you. He cares for you. You're his great treasure. You are significant and you bless him. The widow put all she had in, everything that she had to live on. In Matthew 10, 29 to 30, it says, "Are not two little sparrows sold for a copper coin, and yet not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. For the Father is sovereign and has complete knowledge." The widow quietly gave, and this touched the heart of Jesus. Jesus is touched by a heart that just quietly gives. Amen. I was thinking about times when I've had to just quietly give, and you might be surprised, but church life is one of them. Because ministry is it's a great privilege, and we will be 15 years this May. We would have been leading this church, and and serving the Lord and shepherding his people is truly one of the greatest privileges that anyone can have this side of eternity. There's great joy, fulfillment, and satisfaction found in living out our calling day by day, but ministry can be really, really hard. Yeah. I did say to Tony here that I would freestyle and share some of those journeys, and his face dropped and he said, no, don't share it. Yeah. And I said, oh, well, I was thinking of this and I was thinking of that. And he was like, no, I don't think so. So I'll keep moving on. But in the midst of the challenges and the hardship, Tony and I have always recognized the truth that says we are but jars of clay. And all the Lord needs from us is our obedience, our willingness, and our availability. Above all, he just needed us to trust him. And for 15 years, that's what we've done, but only by his grace. I remember times looking at Pastor Tony stood up here and just thinking, I don't know how he's done it with what he was carrying, with what he was going through every week coming up here. And I would sit up the back and I would think, how is this going to go? Will everyone know that where we're at? Because what if he draws a blank, you know? But every time, as he met God in this place, God was faithful. And he never failed us, yeah. We were called and God was watching and he knew. We've had many challenges, but our clear encouragement from the Lord was, I see you. So we had to put our 2 coins into the treasury of the kingdom and say, this is all we have, but we trust you. You may be going through your own challenges right now, or you might have some challenges ahead of you, or life might just be really good. But at all times, my encouragement to you is, make yourself willing, obedient, available, and trustworthy. Don't go through life alone, but invite God in, and he will never fail you. We minister to Jesus when we quietly give, and we quietly remain faithful. It's those who give quietly of themselves in their daily living and giving that God is watching. And as our main scripture says, the widow made the giving of her everyday life, a choice that honours God regardless of who may or may not be watching and regardless of how little she believed she had. So don't belittle what's in your hands. It has the power to be strength in your own life and to those around you. When you put the needs of others before your own, mustering up a little extra strength when you feel you have none, pushing through the pain to bless someone else, pushing through though your heart is weary, giving when you feel you have nothing more left to give, saying no to that guy who, I said my kids need to be listening to this one, saying no, and all of you at the back there, to that guy or girl who is extremely good looking, but they don't love Jesus. Taking time with friends, even though you're struggling yourself. Going across the room to greet a new person at church, even though you feel lonely yourself. Praying when you don't even know what words to speak, because you've just got so much on your mind. When you give of your 2 coins to God, in your time, your talents, and your treasures, it is one of the most precious ways you can demonstrate your heart for him, especially when you do this regardless of who may or may not be watching. No one may have noticed you, but he has. Matthew 6, 1-4 says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues on the streets to be honoured by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be done in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Jesus sat and he quietly watched this woman who was going it alone. She was still honouring God, and Jesus loved her. Jesus was moved by the widow's actions, knowing she could have completely avoided going to the treasury that day, taking matters into her own hands and holding on to her last 2 pennies for dear life. But she didn't. She gave it as an expression of her love to God. Just to emphasise here again that we're not talking about just the physical coins, although they're connected. We're talking about how she loved God with everything, how she loved God with everything she had to the point it affected her life choices. This so blessed Jesus that he called his disciples over to them to tell them about the incredible demonstration of her love and faithfulness to God. The widow was not drawing attention to herself. She couldn't even do things for show because she was lacking in so much. In fact, she was even embarrassed possibly about what she felt about herself and the little that she did have to offer. Yet Jesus noticed her and wanted others to learn from her heart. It was interesting to see that in the previously in the same chapter, Jesus had been asked by the teachers of the law, of all the commandments, which is the most important? So in Mark 12, 28-35, he answers this. And it says, one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind and with all of your strength. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. And only six verses later, we see the fulfillment of that commandment lived out through the life of this precious widow. From what we read, the widow never knew that Jesus was even watching her that day, but she put her two coins in and she walked away. The widow demonstrated that she loved the Lord her God with all of her heart, with all of her soul, with all of her mind, and with all of her strength. But I wonder what she was thinking as she walked away. Because often, our spirit and our flesh can war with each other. Was she reflecting on the loss of her husband and the state of poverty that it had left her in? Did she wonder if she could quietly go and take her two coins back without people noticing as she started to panic about how she had no money to make ends meet? Did she rebuke herself for being so stupid to put her last bit of money into the offering? Did she start strategizing about what she needed to do to make a way forwards? Was she at peace, knowing that she had done the right thing? And did she trust that God would provide? Or maybe all of the above. This is the reality of faithfully and quietly living a life that is hidden with God. It's a life of dying to self to let him live through you and shine into the life of others. For her, it took everything to give those two coins because it represented everything that she had. And sometimes it takes everything we have to forgive. Everything we have to stay single amid the pain of loneliness until God sends the right person. Everything we have to love in the face of rejection. To those who physically received it, they probably didn't really fully understand the cost. But to Jesus, it was beautiful. So much so that he took the time to sit and to ponder, to observe, and his heart was filled with love and joy at the beautiful posture of her heart. It may have been a broken and bruised heart, but it was his. And when we join our hearts with his, he makes us whole. So maybe this woman isn't so different to us, and that we give, and we might feel it, that nobody sees it. The pain inside can be spoken about with others, but never truly felt. The broken relationship that hovers like a dark cloud over us wherever we go. The exhaustion that can make us feel so at the end of ourselves. The illness that drains us and the rejections that cause us to feel overlooked, lonely and isolated. But when you give, someone does see. The pain inside is understood and you aren't overlooked or isolated because Jesus is watching. And you bring so much joy to his heart. Make it your ambition to live a quiet life before the Lord. So be content, be satisfied, because everything you will ever need is found inside of him. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 11 to 12 says that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly towards those who are outside and that you may lack nothing. We're in a world where it's all about the crowds. It's all about the recognitions, the affirmations, social media, promotions, friendships, relationships, and almost a fake it till you make it, because you can be seen and you can be rich. But Jesus often drew away from the crowds and the busyness of life because he understood that the ultimate place to be from all he did in day-to-day life was to be in his Father's presence. Jesus knew that if no one acknowledged who he was, saw the things that he did, or ever noticed him, he knew that being in the presence of his heavenly Father was all that he would ever need. Sadly, we're taught, be faithful in the much and just forget the little. Imagine the potential, the peace, the beauty, when we stop fighting for recognition, validation of our pains while going through the challenges, and we become known for shutting the door to pray and find our satisfaction in him, trusting in him and nothing else. We're committed, faithful, determined, not self-seeking, and we quietly and faithfully put in our two coins. I was listening to a preacher on YouTube the other day, and he shared from Revelation 10, 1 to 4, and where John got a revelation from the Lord. It says, "Then I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven. He was robed in a cloud with a rainbow above his head. His face was like the sun, and his legs were like fiery pillars. He was holding a scroll, which lay open in his hand. He planted his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land, and he gave a loud shout like a roar of a lion. When he shouted, the voices of the seven thunders spoke. And when the seven thunders spoke, I was about to write it down, but I heard a voice from heaven say, "Seal up what the seven thunders have said and do not write it down." Now, as a woman, I found that really, really hard. It was, what did he say? What did they say? I wanted to know. But if you think, John heard that, and for 2,000 years, it has never been uttered again. This so touched me because the sense of personal relationship that God chooses to have with us, to share his heart and his mysteries and his secrets, which affect lives, homes, nations, and the world, was entrusted to John. What if God sees the way you give, the way you spend your time, the way you honour him, and because of how you have remained quietly faithful, he wants to start thundering messages just for you. Miracles, signs and wonders just for you. A quiet life that means you're so hidden with Christ that you move in power, transformation, miracles and breakthroughs, and you have peace. No one does anything in secret anymore. We advertise our relationship statuses, the car that we bought, the laminated eyebrows we've just had done at the salon, the gym sessions, our dinner. But one thing I do know is that in this house, we don't advertise everything. We have many faithful and beautiful people who serve quietly and faithfully, giving of their time, their talents and their treasures to the work of our church. And there are things that we see happen as a result of that quiet faithfulness that is truly kingdom. And I want to thank you today for every person that serves in this house quietly and faithfully behind the scenes. But the same must be said in relation to our homes, our jobs, our businesses, our relationships, our education, any area of your life that requires your two coins. Jesus is watching you, and as you have given in the good times from a place of the overflow, he also wants you to give in the challenging times from the place of lack. Sacrifice and demonstrate your heart of devotion to him and trust him, because he is faithful. And I just want to end with, I don't know what I call it, it's not a poem, but it's like a letter from Jesus to you. And I just want you to take the time, maybe just to close your eyes. It says woman, but we can put man in there as well for you men. It's just Jesus's heart for you and towards you. So I just want to take this time to read it and let it penetrate into your being. You are not lost on me, my precious one. Do not think for one second that you are forgotten. Though the world may forsake you, I never will. Though the world may pass you by, I am yours. My eyes are upon you every step of your way. And my smile is because of you. Your ways, your heart, your care, and all those little things that you think are insignificant are always in my sight. I don't miss even one. I record them all, and I hold them deeply in my heart. Indeed, I hold you in my heart. You have worked so hard and given so much. You are quietly faithful. You have cared and sacrificed and put yourself last. You have given without thought of return. I know there were times when you could have withheld. I remember the times when you wondered, why am I doing this? I know that sometimes you felt so very alone, because as much as you gave, nobody seemed to care. And you even began to wonder if I wasn't one of them. My precious woman, don't ever be deceived by the bang and the clatter of human notice or enticed by the things that draw attention. Hear the bigness of my voice when I tell you they mean nothing. I am never where the crowd is, precious one. The one chased by the crowd today is forgotten by the crowd tomorrow. Let them exalt each other and tell themselves how wonderful they are. Let them boast of how I have blessed them and how they're always getting ahead. Let them walk proudly in those illusions, and all the while, you just keep being who you are. Just keep doing as you do. Just keep giving as you give. Keep caring and being faithful in all those tiny ways that you think no one ever sees. I do. I have seen, O precious one, I have watched you, and all of heaven stands to their feet and applauds. My Father is pleased, as I am. And together we say, well done. Did you hear those words, precious woman? Did they land in your heart? Well done, good and faithful woman. Well done. Your 2 copper coins are as 1 billion pounds. Your fraction of a penny overwhelms me. You bless me, pure and simple. And all the clamour about me, it is you who has my gaze. Of all who think I am so pleased, it is you who touches my heart. I love you, precious woman. I love you, Jesus.